Wes Anderson grew up in Brooklyn, son of a jazz drummer, surrounded by music and musicians.
Before I became a saxophonist, I was the drum roadie. I'd pick up my father's drums and take them. My father would do gigs around. And before I started playing, I used to see him do rehearsals at the house. We had a basement, and they had drums on there, and piano and bass. So musicians were like uncles to me, uncles and aunts. They would come by, they'd rehearse. They were very friendly. They all had a certain personality that they talk with. As musicians, we have our own dialect that we talk about. So just as a young musician, I got a chance to hear the jazz music early. My father's brother, he used to work at a famous club in New York City called Birdland that was named after Charlie Parker. And then my aunt, she used to... They all used to go out. My father was the youngest of the three. So my aunt would... she used to love to dance, and they used to have a dance group called the Brooklyn Beboppers. And she used to dance to Charlie Parker. She loved Charlie Parker. Her favorite tune was Scrapple from the Apple, a tune made famous by Charlie Parker. And every holiday, everybody would come by the house. My mother would make food, and they'd have a couple of drinks. And then after that, then it would begin. So my aunt, she said, look, I don't need anybody to dance with. I'm going to dance with the door. She would dance with the doorknob and show us, you know, how hip it was in the 50s and 60s growing up in New York. My family's mostly Caribbean. They're from Barbados. And I never got a chance to go to Barbados until I got older and started working with Wynton Marcellus. And I finally met some of my family down in Barbados. I didn't think anybody was still left. My grandmother, she's a talking accent. She said, boy, when you go down there, you're going to hear them. They're going to know you. They're going to look just like you. They're going to be big, and the women going to have arms and stuff look like you, and they look just like me. We finished a concert in Barbados, and there was two women that were talking. It was an outside concert, but it had like a big ledge. And these women just talking, and I said, who they are? They said, you don't know me? I'm your aunt. Your grandmother called me, telling me you're coming. So that brought me closer to the Caribbean side of my family.
Is that your mother's or your father's?
That's my father's family, father's family. And so that was very interesting to see that later on in life. I was in my 20s working with Wynton. But growing up in Brooklyn, like I said, my father would always have rehearsals at the house. And eventually he said, okay, what instrument do you want to play? I said, well, I don't know. So he brought a piano. An acoustic piano out it was a great piano. It was about this tall. It couldn't get down the basement because it was so big. But all the musicians would come and say, your father got you playing that piano, huh? I figured that. I know that. My father was very aggressive. So when we got the piano and he said, yeah, play this tune. I said, the Scrap from the Apple. The same tune. My aunt, like, I said, I don't know how to play it. He said, well, I'm going to play the music every day you come home from school. And you're going to figure out what to do.
Wes Anderson was 12 when his dad started him on piano, then took up clarinet at 13, switched to alto sax a year later.
When I was 17, I met the great Sonny Stitt. Now, this was unbelievable because he was the only person I heard at that time that was living that sounded like Charlie Parker. So to me, I said, well, this is Charlie Parker right here. So my dad would play with him. He would come and play for 2 weeks at a club. It's not there anymore, called the Blue Coronet. It used to be on Fulton Street and Nostrand Avenue. It was a famous jazz club, Monk, and a lot of people played it there. So he would come, and he's from what we call the old school musicians, where he was like my father, but even worse, like 10 times worse. So he says, where are all my youngsters? So at the time, people who were very prominent now, we all were in there. Myself, Kenny Garrett, Vincent Herring. We all were young. We all were teenagers. So he said, I want y'all lined up against the wall. He says, I'm going to play Cherokee in all the keys. And he says, I'm going to be listening. Y'all better not mess up. So we didn't really know, but we knew how great he was. So we get on there, we were just like terrible. He said, next key. He would just go from one key to next key, and it's a very difficult tune.
Wes Anderson was just about to graduate from high school with plans to attend the Berklee School of Music that following fall, when a chance meeting with a New Orleans musician changed his life forever.
I saw a concert, an outside concert of Art Blakey with Wynton Marsalis and Branford Marsalis. At the time, I didn't know Wynton. Wynton was the newest thing hit New York City. Everybody's talking about him. But Branford at the time was playing alto saxophone. I went to the concert. A friend of my father's, another musician, his name is Cliff Lee. He is the uncle of the great director Spike Lee. And at this time, nobody knew who Spike was. But at that time, Cliff was so well known. Him and Spike's father, they were brothers. They used to play a lot in Brooklyn, too. So Cliff was a good friend of my father. He said, I'm going to take your son out and go see Art Blakey. So I went to see him. So we saw him, and I was like so amazed to see young musicians playing with Art Blakey. At that time, Art Blakey was probably early in his 60s or 70s. To see these young musicians play was like phenomenal. So it was outside. It was close to Harlem. So when we finished, Cliff took me to a club called Lickety Split, a small little tavern up in Harlem, where they had a jam session. So he took me, he said, hey, you can come and learn. I'm playing, and I usually play with my eyes closed. So something told me, you should open, somebody is staring at you. Over my eyes, it was Branford Marsalis. I said, oh my goodness. He said, no, keep playing, I like what you sound like. I said, no, man, he said, no. He said, I'm gonna talk to you when you finish. I said, oh, Lord. I got to hear this again. So we talked. I'm getting ready to graduate from high school. So Branford says, he said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Brooklyn. He said, you sound like the people I know down in New Orleans. I said, I've heard of New Orleans. I don't know where it is. He says, if we go to school, Gary, go to Berklee School of Music. I had a scholarship to go to Berklee. And Branford says, don't go there. You need to go study with the bat. I said, what's the bat? He said, you don't know the bat? I said, no. He said, man, he says, my teacher. I said, oh, where is he? I want to study wherever you study. I don't care who he is. So we talked after that night, and he gave me all the information to call. This is Alvin Batiste.
Wes Anderson gave up his Berklee scholarship and enrolled at Southern University. His 4 years in Baton Rouge studying with Alvin Batiste proved pivotal. He made great strides musically under Alvin Batiste's guidance, met his wife, Desi, got deeply familiar with the New Orleans music scene, and began his long and ongoing professional relationship with Wynton Marsalis, Victor Goines, Herlin Riley, and a host of other great musicians. Wes and his wife are back in Louisiana, living in Baton Rouge, and he's making excellent progress in recovery from a major stroke he suffered last year. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.